Acquisition number 12723, Reel 1.
Mr. Birch, Reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Bootle. That is a borough of just on the north side of Liverpool.
And which year was that?
I was born in 1919.
You tell me your father was a professional fireman?
He belonged to the Bootle Fire Brigade, yes.
But that was his paid job?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I was born in the fire station.
Did you go to school in Bootle?
Yes, yes.
And how old were you when you left?
16.
And that must have been 33?
No, 35,
35,
yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes, after going to the technical school, I got a job as an apprenticeship plumber with Charles Howson, who was a ship repair firm.
Were you doing that when war broke out?
Yes, I was in my last year of apprenticeship when war broke out.
What was your reaction to the news that we were at war with Germany?
Well, I don't know. It shocked me because I was in what was going to be the first militia.
Were you dismayed?
No, I wasn't dismayed. It was just something that had happened. But I was going to be called up for the army. And I didn't want to go in the army. I wanted to either join the Royal Navy, but I wanted to go to sea, actually. And that was it.
So what did you do?
But unfortunately, I broke my arm just before I was called up. And when I went for my medical, I was given a 3 months deferment on account of my arm being in plaster.
How did you come to break your arm?
I fell off what was known as the loading platform at the firm. Being a plumber, we used to load pipes full of sand, and they were 22-foot lengths, or 21-foot lengths of pipe. And we had to climb on a platform and fill them full of sand for bending. And I was up there, and I stumbled and fell off the platform. Landed on the floor and broke my wrist in two places.
So what happened after your deferment?
Well, during my deferment, which was for 3 months, I wrote and was accepted by the CPR to go to sea as a seagoing sanitary engineer, which they called you in the CPR.
A sanitary engineer?
A sanitary engineer, yes.
What exactly did that mean?
That I looked after all the sanitation of the ship. I was a plumber, but they give you the rank of a junior engineer in the Canadian Pacific.
So like a ship's plumber?
I was a ship's plumber, yes. That was what I was, yes.
And you'd applied to the Canadian Pacific?
Yes.
What had made you apply to them?
Because I wanted to go to sea. I didn't want to go in the army. And Cunard, which my company used to repair Cunard ships, they had promised me that when I come out of my time, I would get a Cunard ship. And the ship which I most probably would have got was the Mauritania, which had just been launched. But when war broke out, the Mauritania, I think, went to Canada to be laid up there for safety's sake. And then Cunard said I was more use to them ashore than I was going to sea for them. So I wrote to CPR to go to sea because Cunard wouldn't have me.
What kind of a reputation did the Canadian Pacific have as a company to work for?
Oh, it was a good company. It was one of the... It was a real good company. Sailing out of Liverpool was the CPR.
Why were they such a good company, though?
Well, they had good ships. Like Cunard, I mean, Cunard was the main shipping company going out of Liverpool, I should imagine, but CPR used to have some good ships.
How did you go about getting the job with CPR?
I applied to the superintendent engineer.
And was it difficult to get in?
No. just in 1940, they were accepting any, you know, they were rather keen to get people to go to sea.
Because they were having difficulty forming crews?
Well, no. At the time, the Empress of Canada had just come to England in a convoy that was carrying Australian troops, and they were due between Australia, they were sailing between Australia to go into the Middle East when the Italians come into the war, and they thought they'd better not let the troops go to the Middle East on account of, you know, they didn't know how the Italians or how the war would go on in the Middle East. So the whole convoy was rerouted and come to England. And on the way to England, the Empress of Canada had a large Chinese crew. And all these Chinese wanted to go back to Vancouver. They didn't want to have anything to do. And they wanted to be sent back to Vancouver, which they were. And this left the Empress of Canada short of a lot of pipe fitters and ordinary fitters and turners. So they had to make the complement up with their junior officers and that sort of thing. So,
can you remember joining the ship?
Oh, yes, yes.
Can you describe it, how you joined it?
Well, I was accepted by the CPR, and the superintendent engineer gave me a letter of introduction to the chief engineer of the Empress of Canada, on the understanding that I reported aboard the ship and went before the ship's doctor, and if the ship doctor found me physically fit, I could join the Empress of Canada as third sanitary engineer, which I did do. I went aboard the ship and I was accepted. I passed the medical and I was then taken on as third sanitary engineer of the ship, and that was it.
When was this? Do you remember the month?
Yeah, yes, it was in the July 1940.
At Liverpool?
At Gladstone Dock, Liverpool, yes.
Can you describe the ship as it was in July 40?
Oh, yes, it was an ordinary passenger ship, which was pretty old. It was a pretty elderly ship. It was about 20 years old. And I was given a quick run round about the accommodation by the number one sanitary engineer, and then just told to wander about, make myself used to going around the ship, and that was it. And
when did the ship set sail?
The ship set sail on the Saturday of August bank holiday. We went out into the Mersey on the Saturday morning, and we laid in the Mersey off Pierhead all Saturday, and we could hear all the ferry boats going across with all the holidaymakers, you know, which they did do in them days, going to New Brighton and all, you know. And we were stuck aboard the Empress of Canada.
Had the bombing of Liverpool started by then?
No. We'd had air raids, but no bombing at all.
Where was the ship sailing to?
Glasgow. We left the Mersey on Saturday night, and we arrived on the Clyde on Sunday.
What was the purpose of going to Glasgow?
We went down to meet a convoy and pick up troops.
What kind of troops did you have on board?
Oh, a mixed batch. They were British troops. Different regiments, you know, there was. But they were all troops. They were soldiers. I think quite a lot of them were Royal Artillery, but I wouldn't be sure about that. But I think they were, you know. But they were all soldiers. They just come aboard, and that was it.
Was the ship absolutely packed out?
No, in them days we weren't rigged out properly as a troop ship, because it was rather a long voyage to go around the Cape. And I think the capacity them days was 2,000 troops, because we let the dining, the lounges and that were still as lounges, they weren't converted and that. And they had to have deck space for the troops to exercise, because, as I say, they were a long time on the ship. They were 6 weeks from England to Cape Town, or Durban, whichever we went in. Then maybe another 3 weeks going up to the to Suez or wherever we were going to. I mean, we never did know where we were going or when we were sailing. We just got loaded up and pushed off.
What was your own accommodation in the ship like?
We had passenger accommodation. They took over so much of the second-class passenger accommodation. And the junior engineers were moved into that. And all the senior engineers had their own accommodation on the port side of the ship, on B deck. And then we were to passenger accommodation on the starboard side of the ship, on B deck.
Was it comfortable?
Well, yes, they were passenger cabins, and we were doubled up. There was two people, they were two berth cabins, so we were doubled up in the cabins.
How did the troops behave aboard ship?
Oh, very, very well. There was much discipline. Of course, in them days, the troopers were wet. Of a Friday night, I think, or of a Friday, they used to get 10 shillings, and the nappies were open, and they used to fill all the troop deck dixies up with beer and have quite a party on the Friday night.
Was there much drunkenness?
Well, I wouldn't say drunkenness, but there was quite a line there. Of course, we didn't mix with the troop. We had our own accommodation. We only went into the troop accommodation when duties took us, like we did sanitary patrols and made sure that everything was working all right. And if they weren't, well, we had to put it right.
I heard that sometimes the crews used to win quite a lot of money off the troops at gambling games like Crown and Anchor. Did you ever hear of that?
No, I don't think that was allowed on the ship's Crown and Anchor. The only troops we ever did have a lot, who gambled a lot, were when we took the Australians back around to the Cape. And they were always playing a two-up or something. That's what they called a two-up. They were always tossing coin in there. And they lifted everything they could, did the Australians.
How do you mean?
Well, they took all your nameplates above you, above your cabin doors. You had who you were and what you were. Well, the Australians seemed to like collecting souvenirs of the ship, because all our nameplates for the cabins went adrift and everything like that. They were very boisterous, were the Australians.
Did they do much damage?
Oh, no. They carved the names on the ship's handrails and all that sort of thing. And, as I say, pinched all the ratings above the cabin doors, pinched all them, that sort of thing.
How did your first voyage go?
Very well. I really enjoyed it. It was quite a good trip.
So you didn't run into the enemy?
Oh, no. We never did run into the enemy. We were in convoy. We were well escorted, I should imagine. I think the first trip we had a very old ancient aircraft carrier, I think it was called the Argos. She came with us there. She was one of the first aircraft carriers of the world. She was a very ancient-looking thing. And, it was quite an eventful trip. The convoy called into Freetown for water. Then we pushed off out again, and we split up. Half went into Cape Town and half went into Durban. And then they had 4 days in Durban, and the troops were given shore leave, and Now, over night time, Durban and Cape Town used to look like an evacuation of Dunkirk, with the troops coming back ashore. Now, they were well-oiled. It was quite a... Well, you couldn't blame them after 6 weeks at sea. But there was gear laid all over the roads, and soldiers lay in all kinds of positions and being fetched back by horse-drawn carriages and that sort of thing. Yeah. And then on the last day, all the troops were made to fall in and be paraded around Cape Town or Durban, wherever we were.
And you were going to the Suez Canal?
We went up to Suez then, yes, to Port Tewfik on that trip.
What was the condition of the sanitary arrangements, the plumbing on the ship?
Oh, very good, very good. And what we had to do was conserve the fresh water. We used to have to ration the fresh water, and we shut the pumps down and that, and then we used to keep our eye out that the troops just weren't wasting fresh water. We had a feeling that when we shut the fresh water down, I think we used to shut it down about 8 o'clock in the morning. And then every soldier used to think they could somehow or other turn on valves or shut off valves and get water. And then when we had to put the water back on again at tea time, we would find valves covered off and taps taken adrift, and fresh water would be just pouring out, and we had to go and pour everything back. Stop the wastage of water. That's what it was. Because that was a problem, was the shortage of fresh water. That was the main rationing, and looking, conserving fresh water.
So that was your first voyage. What happened to you once you got to the Suez Canal?
Oh, nothing. I mean, we just laid there. The troops were unloaded, and we just waited. And we then, I think we picked soldiers and RAF personnel, the families of soldiers and RAF personnel who were stationed in Egypt. And then we took them down to Durban. Well, you know, they were evacuated from the war zone. We took them down to Durban, where I think they must have spent the remainder of the war there in Durban. But that's what we did. And then we used to run up from Durban up back home on our own. We weren't in convoy. We just used to run back to England on our own.
Did that worry you, not being in convoy?
No. We could. We didn't think about it. Just didn't matter, you were on a ship and you were sailing, and that was it. And we could do a good turn of speed, and we zigzagged, of course. We were used to get about 18 knots, which was good travelling, you know. Going down, we might have been in a 14-knot convoy or a 12-knot convoy, but coming home, we could do about 18 knots coming home.
So that was your first voyage. Mm. Were you constantly doing this run between Liverpool and Suez?
Oh, no, you were. As I say, from Liverpool we went to Glasgow and loaded up. And then after that, we used to run into the tail of the bank. And all the ships used to seem to lay up at the tail of the bank. And we did do on it. When we got back, we went to the tail of the bank and laid there. And the ship was given leave, and we got 4 days' leave each. I think the ships had to be manned by two-thirds of the crew. One-third of the crew were allowed to leave at a time. And as I say, we got 4 days' leave from leaving the ship to getting back aboard the ship. We were given 4 days' leave.
Do you know the month that you got back?
Oh, yes, the first trip. I know when. It was back in October, I should imagine.
So before Christmas?
Oh, yes, being made a... Yes, we were back out in the Suez again at Christmas time. We were in the Red Sea for Christmas that year.
When you came back, did you come back to any bombing?
Yes, when I got leave, when I walked... When I got off the train at Liverpool, we weren't allowed into Lime Street Station. We had to get off the train outside Liverpool. I think it was Edgehill, the station called Edgehill, we got out of. And then I walked home because at that time we'd left the fire station and I was living in a place outside Liverpool called Orrell. And I walked from Edgehill home during the night. And I wouldn't smoke while I was walking home. Because it was something you didn't do aboard the ship, was smoke on deck or you weren't allowed. And for some unknown reason, I wouldn't smoke in case...
Because of the discipline?
Yeah. Well, they used to say, like, they could see a cigarette light from about 4 miles away.
Oh, because of the aeroplane?
Yeah. Mm.
Did you see anything of the bombing?
My home where I lived in Orrell had been damaged by bombing. The couple of houses away had been demolished, but my house was just badly shattered, the windows and that sort of thing. Otherwise, that was there. And when I got in, my brother, who was then a fireman himself in the Brutal Fire Brigade, was the only one in the house, and he was asleep under the stairs. And he said I could go upstairs into my own bed if I liked, but when I got upstairs and found out that there was no windows or that, I decided I'd bed downstairs with him. And I stopped downstairs, made me bed downstairs.
Were the firemen in Liverpool area able to cope with the fires at that time?
At that time, they hadn't had a lot of damage. But later on, when, as I say, I made my second trip to sea. And when I got back home after my second trip to sea, this was in February, my brother had been killed. Him and his crew had been wiped out at a fire in Alexander Dock. In them days, the brigade used to turn out during an air raid to put the incendiary bombs out before the heavy explosions came over. And unfortunately, him and all his crew were wiped out.
Which month was that?
That was just before Christmas in December.
Was your father still fighting?
No, my father had retired by then and had died. With my mother and father had died by then. My dad retired from the brigade in 1937.
And when you returned in February, was Liverpool much worse devastated by then?
Oh, yeah, yes. She'd had taken quite a bit of pounding there, but mostly in the dock area. I didn't spend a lot of time. I only got another 4 days leave this time again. And I had to call into the fire brigade to see the chief officer, see if I could recognise any bits of debris that they'd found, if I could have, claimed them as my brothers. But I couldn't. So that was it. So I didn't spend a lot of time. I was back to go back and join the ship.
What was public morale like in Liverpool under the bombing?
Well, pretty good, yes. Yes, I did all right. But of course, they didn't get a real heavy bombing till the following May, and that's when they got a real heavy bombing. They got a full week of night after night after night. But by then, I was back out in the Indian Ocean, and we used to listen to the wireless, and they used to say, a northwest town had been bombed again.
And your second trip, where had that been, the one when you came back in February?
Oh, to Port Chufik again. We just round trip to Port Chufik again.
What was the first time that you ran into the enemy?
I should imagine when we got torpedoed. We had a few scares. When we were running, we were chased but one time by smoke on the horizon, and that, lucky enough, turned out to be a British cruiser, a county-class cruiser, which come up and told us to be ready to unfurl our ensign when they wanted us to. And it wasn't till after the war that we found out that the German pocket battleship were operating down there, the Graf Spee. I would say you were at sea and you just didn't know what you were doing or where you were going. You were just at sea.
Which month and year was it torpedoed?
The Empress of Canada?
Yeah.
She was torpedoed. Her first torpedo hit her on the 13th of May, 1943. I believe it's 7:07.
Can you describe in detail what happened as far as you personally remember it?
Oh yes. I'd been turned in about 10 minutes when there was this awful bump. And my roommate, who had been torpedoed before, he jumped out of his bunk and said to me, "We've been torpedoed." And with that, the lights started to go out. And the klaxon started to go, but all the juice failed. Evidently, the torpedo had got us right on the engine room and stokehold bulkhead and stopped everything dead right away. There was no power on the ship at all. And I got up, got dressed, put all my best uniforms on and everything. And then I made my way to the emergency station, which was supposed to be the engine room platform. But when I got to the engine room and looked down, the water was above the engine room platform. So then I decided to make my way to my boat station, which was the after Wiley gear.
The what?
The after Wiley. There was known as the Wiley gear. It was they were like big derricks that come into the ship, and each derrick was supposed to lower four boats. But unfortunately, there was no power on, and all the engineers were working on the emergency engine, which were lucky enough on that ship, on the boat deck. But they couldn't get them going anyway. And we stood around on the boat deck at the Wally boats till one of the mates come and told us that he didn't think we were going to get power, and would we release all the boats ready that when the ship sank, these boats would float off. There was four boats on the starboard side and four boats on the port.